Pastor Joe.
And I'm Kirsten.
We've served in church leadership for over two decades.
And most of that, we've been on staff together.
We're here to talk about our faith, family, and ministry.
Welcome to Under the Hood. Welcome back, Cruiser.
Welcome back. Oh, wait. No, you're saying, you're talking to me.
You see, you don't listen.
I would listen.
It is part of your problem.
Let's start over.
I'm not starting over. Welcome back, Cruiser.
I thought you were saying welcome back to our listeners because we were not here last week.
Well, because of you.
Because of us.
You, yeah. You were out cruising.
I was. Brock and I had a little father-son adventure, which ironically had been planned for years.
Many years.
So my plan was always to take my two sons, one at a time, when they turned 13, on a father-son getaway for a week. And when Neil turned 13, we went on a cruise together, had a blast and a lot of fun. And then when Brock turned 13, COVID hit. And so he turned 13 in January of 2020.
I think it was 2021.
Was it 2021?
Yeah, but cruising was still like shut down.
Yeah, and everything
there were
was
a
still
lot of stipulations yes, and that rules is correct. And stuff. And so we're like, well, let's hold off till it'd be more fun.
That's right. It was not that. That is correct. I remember it was 2021. And nothing was really where we wanted it to be. And
so we've been wishing him a happy 13th birthday. Yeah, he turned the last month.
He turned 14. I was like, we're gonna do it. And then he turned 15. Son, we're gonna do it.
Turned 16. I'm like, book it.
We finally it got to the point where I've been wanting to do it, but just with the way our schedules unfolded, it was not convenient. And, you know, I could make the argument, you make time for what's important to you. This was really important to us, but with all of our travels and everything else, so we finally just had to like carve it out and say, if I don't do it now, this kid's going to be 18 and gone. So we took a cruise and we went down to Costa Maya and Cozumel and it was just a great time together.
Someone asked
father,
me
son.
Over the weekend how the cruise was. I was like, girl, I did not go on a cruise. That was the boys only.
Yep. But we got an opportunity to just have a lot of heartfelt conversations and
ate a lot of burgers.
Let me tell you, on this cruise ship, they had a thing right on the main deck out by the pool. They had two restaurants outside in the pool. They got the main dining area. Then they've got this big buffet area, which is just off the pool. Like the main party deck area, you go right off that deck and there's this huge buffet, which is pretty much open all the time. And then out on the pool deck, there's these two restaurants. One is like a Chipotle. Like in the morning, they have breakfast burritos and breakfast tacos. And then the afternoon, they do breakfast. They just do regular burritos, you know, and they were okay. They're okay. And then opposite of that was this thing called Guy's Burgers. You know, Guy Fieri? So he's got a brand with Carnival Cruises. So he's got a Guy Fieri burger joint there. And it's all included. And basically they make these smash burgers right in front of you. And they got five burgers to choose from. I usually got I got the ringer, which was just like a couple patties with cheese, onion ring, and they call it donkey sauce. And then the other one I got was I don't remember what it was called, but it had like the traditional onions, tomatoes, lettuce. And then they had this, and they give you French fries.
I can't imagine how much you stunk last week.
You probably would not have been around, wanted to be around us.
Onions
So Brock's nastiness. Favorite food is cheeseburgers. Yeah. Hands down, he'll take a cheeseburger before a pizza, before anything. He loves.
Every birthday, where do you want to go? He wants to go to a burger joint.
That's right. So. He knew, like he knew because we watched the tours of the ship and we knew this burger place on there and they are really good burgers. It's not like
knockoff
burgers. It's good.
Several months ago when you guys booked it, we were watching a YouTube video and they only cared about one thing. Was there a burger joint on the ship? So they're watching the crew. Oh, that looks nice. Oh, that looks nice.
Well, because the same thing was for Neil's cruise a couple years earlier. So I knew it was there.
And then they get to the restaurant and say, and then there's this wonderful restaurant, guys. And they're like high-fiving at the table. yeah. They were more excited about that burger joint than anything else.
So we're sitting at port in Galveston, Texas, and we get on the ship. And we walk right up to there, and it's open. And the first thing we do, I don't even think we've been to our room yet. We go right there, and we slam a couple burgers. And I texted Kirsten a picture from the deck of the ship, and it was awesome. And we had, I'm not even going to begin to tell you how many burgers we had, but I'll just say this. We had...
Did you tally?
No, we didn't count, but we had... I'll just say this. We had more than one burger each every day. And so...
Wow.
In fact, it got to the point where a couple days into it, I looked at Brock and we're scarfing these burgers. And I said, Brock, we are abusing ourselves. Will you pass the ketchup, please? No, it was a great time. We when we got on our ship, ours was called the Carnival Breeze, which is a nice ship. I don't know how old it is. I think it's been around for 10 or 12 years. But we were docked next to this ship called the Carnival Jubilee, I think. This thing had a roller coaster on it. I took a video of it from our ship because we were parked right next to it. I couldn't believe it. And then we were at Costa Maya and we were parked next to the Royal Caribbean. We've been on Royal Caribbean ships as well. But this is, I think they're, don't quote me on any of this stuff. I have to look it up. But I think this was their newest ship. It was called the Icon of the Seas, or it's one of their new. This thing was huge. I mean, absolutely huge. George. We have been on the Harmony of the Seas, which was the sister ship to the Oasis. And if you go on cruises, you know these ships. And that ship was too huge. And this thing, the Icon of the Seas looked as big as that or bigger than the Harmony and the Oasis. And it was just amazing. It was just an amazing trip. But really, the heart behind it was we did eat too much. And we did drink too much pop. And we got the bottomless bubbles.
I was like, bottomless what?
Bottomless bubbles. So let me just say this. So
what is bottomless?
That means bubble? You can drink as much pop as you want.
Oh, okay.
Now, when we're on a Royal Caribbean ship, they give you an official cup. It's got a barcode on the bottom. You go to any pop machines all over the ship, stick your cup in there. It reads the bottom. It recognizes, oh, you bought the unlimited, you know,
drink package.
Sodas. Yeah. And so that wasn't like that on the Carnival ship. You had to actually go to the different bars around the ship, and they would give you a can. So every time we got a can. Now, because we have bottomless bubbles, they scan your little ship card, and they give you a cup of ice and a can of whatever you want. And I drink a lot of Diet Pepsi and Diet Mountain Dew and stuff like that. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you what I spent for this. So the two bottomless bubbles packages between Brock and I, combined for the whole week was $94. That's what we spent to have unlimited soda all day, all night on the ship. And now they were charging, like if we didn't have that, they would charge us $3.25 per can. That's what it cost on the ship. And so they scan your card every time. Okay.
Oh dear.
And so
you did tally
all
this.
throughout the week, I can look at how many sodas we have drunk. I'll just say this, that if we were paying by the can, we had already exceeded $94 by the end of day two.
Oh my heaven. Wow. That's a lot of pop.
Well, there's two of us and we are slamming them right and left. I'm just telling you.
When there's no limit.
Well, we did not drink enough water. Now, we made ourselves drink water at dinner. And
you did?
Well, the first glass. And then we had the waiter bring us more sodas. I'm telling you, we ate a lot of...
The waiter was like, why are you starting with water? Okay, now I need four Diet Cokes, please. Do they have Diet Coke?
No, it was all Pepsi. It was a Pepsi cruise line.
Did that ruin things for you?
No, they had Diet Mountain Dew. Okay. And I love Diet Mountain Dew.
Okay, good.
And I like a good Diet Pepsi from a can. I mean, that's okay. I prefer Coke. I prefer Diet Coke. But anyway, I know I did not actually go through and count for the whole week, but I remember looking at it. Oh, it was about day two or three. And I remember telling Brock, we've already exceeded our, if we were paying by the can, we have spent more than $94. So
uh-oh, big boy coming.
Now, I know you take a look at me.
About to lose money on the sodas.
I know you take a look at me, and what I'm saying is hard to believe. But, no.
That's awesome.
But anyway, we had a great time. Kirsten, what did you do while we were gone?
Well, my mom came, and we painted and painted and painted and painted the kitchen.
Yes, we have been on a painting spree.
Finished the kitchen. So we remodeled. And I say remodeled, but it's been a 9.5 year process. And we finally decided. When Joe said he booked the cruise, I said, well, first of all, I wasn't happy about that because
You were on board with it. You're like,
oh, yeah.
I don't want to be at home alone.
I just didn't want to be alone, which I know is like opposite of Abby.
Abby's like, a whole week to to yourself.
And I was like, what am I going to do? I'm like, okay. So I texted my mom and said, hey, do you want to come to Northwest Arkansas for an old fashioned barn raising? And by barn raising, I mean painting my kitchen. And so she said, yeah. So she flew in. Neil was still here. And so we took Neil back to the airport together and dropped him off. And then we got to work. And for 5 days, we painted the kitchen and changed it all. And so I was...
Something we've been talking about for years.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it was our kitchen.
I kind of knew that when you were going to be gone, I was going to... That was my like ticket to get you out of the house and change things. Because well, I wasn't sure you were going to be on board.
Our kitchen was a little dated when we bought the house over 9 years ago.
I would say a little bit more than little.
And over the last 9 years, like some of the cabinets were really starting to show its age. They were okay, but like a lot of the varnish, the stain was coming off, and they were really looking raw. So we needed to do something, but I was always torn between I don't want painted cabinets versus I don't want to spend all that money for new cabinets. So I figured, hey,
married to El Cheapo.
Well, have you priced out a kitchen remodel lately?
Yeah,
actually we have. So yeah, finally I'm like, well, you know what? If we end up having to tear out cabinets anyway, who cares if they're painted or not? And so we had, first of all, we had painted, we had a whole entertainment. Our house has a ton of like,
oak.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of oak.
It's like the yellow oak. It was really popular in the 90s.
Yeah.
And, So it's
a lot of homes have it, and some homes have oak in really good condition.
I've always struggled with painting over that. You know, I'm like, well, it was, you know, these cabinets were custom put in and they were stained really beautifully. And I just can't imagine.
I love when you say the word beautiful.
I think they are. But anyway,
I do. It's the word I like.
We modified our entertainment cabinet. Our entertainment cabinet was set for like I'm just moving on.
I could have a whole conversation and you could just keep going.
That's a skill I've learned after 25 years. It's like ignore and conquer. Marriage tip 101. Ignore and conquer. But our entertainment center was built for like a traditional square TV. And so we could could really get it to fit. So we, with the help of some friends, modified that to get a bigger TV.
And then we could have just bought a standard TV.
No, you can't buy those anymore. Are you kidding? The old pawn shop. And then the garage sale.
I'm sure there's some like real estate or real... What are those?
What are you saying?
I don't know. Those little sales that...
Estate sales.
Thank you. Yes. Estate sales.
But we would never do that.
I know.
Okay, just so you know, we never do that. And then we painted it. And I thought, that looks pretty good. I was really... And I thought, if this thing can turn out looking that good... Then I had that really what pushed me over the hump for the kitchen cabinets to get painted. So
we were already planning on it.
Anyway, I'm really happy with it. Now we're adding pulls to all the drawers and cabinets to kind of class it. But we have a big island in the middle of our kitchen, and that alone was a project. And then all the cabinets we've got. It's a pretty good sized kitchen.
Yeah, we don't have a small kitchen. We do have a nice sized kitchen.
I mean, we also have a seating area in our kitchen, and so there's this. It's a process. It's going to take quite a while, but now we'll move into the next phases, and the next phases get more expensive. And it may take us 9 more years to get all through all the phases, but we'll get there.
I hope not. It cannot. Like, this year is our year. It's on my phone, it's on my screensaver, like all of our things that we need to do. And my home is listed number 2 after self care. So,
okay, all right.
I'm going to take care of myself. And then we're going to take care of our home. So 2024 is the year.
The year where we pull it all together.
It has to be. Like, because after 9.5 years, I was just scared that we're going to sit there and be like, oh, this is such a lovely home, but we've done nothing to it in the whole almost 10 years we've been here. So it was time.
On the self-care part, I can promise you that I've eaten more burgers during really spring break than a lot of people eat in a year. So anyway, but
my mom did an awesome job. She jumped in and helped, and we worked our hind ends off like 5 straight days, long, long days. We were sore. But there was one day I guess I didn't feed her. She was calling my dad and she goes, well, they don't feed me around here. And I was like, oh, and we had had breakfast, I think, that morning, and it was probably 8 o'clock at night. And I looked at her, I'm like, I guess we haven't eaten anything today. I'm so sorry. So she's like, well, I guess we'll get a bowl of ice cream.
But that's why there was no podcast last week. I was down in on a ship and Kirsten had her hands in a painting project. Yeah. So
lots of
anyway, pain. We missed you guys and glad we could be back on here today. Well, we were in Judges chapter 8 this past weekend, and we're going to be taking a break next week because of Easter from Courageous, and then we'll be right back into it. And
you couldn't fit the Easter story into Judges?
You know, Judges 9 about, there's no way.
Sketchy.
Could not blend all that together about Abimelech and killing his 70 brothers and the return of Christ. I don't think that all comes together, but for the resurrection of Christ, I mean. But no, we're going to take a break from Judges next week for Easter. And I'm telling you, Kirsten, you know, we've been working hard to get ready for Easter. I think we're not aiming for any number, but we're trying to be prepared for any number. That's kind of why we talk about some numbers around here. But I think this Easter is probably going to be the largest Easter we've ever seen here at New Life.
Well, it's pretty exciting because we have seen the growth. If mm-hmm. you've been part of New Life for any time at all, you've seen that our church has grown. We have two campuses this year, our first Easter to have two campuses. And Abby and I worked really hard on getting out 38,000 postcards.
I know. Isn't Easter. That something? Yes. That's the largest mailer postcards we've ever done here. Yeah. 38,000 of those went out last week.
Yeah.
Inviting people.
So hopefully you got yours if you're in the area. We did not send them too far away, but within our area, we sent out 38,000.
That's right. Well, with the second campus,
Southwest Missouri,
our area has expanded.
Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah, our area's expanded.
For sure. So we're expecting, I mean, they say there's about a 1.8% return on a mailer like that. But, you know, we just, if someone is interested in going to church to find out what it's about or looking for a church or, you know, if they've moved here and not settled and found mm-hmm. a place to worship, we're hoping that they'll find New Life and be part of one of our 10 services. We have 10 to 5 between 5 at each campus. So we have a lot to choose from, but
yeah. And you know, it's always one of those things we always discuss. You know, I hate to think of church in these terms, but you do, there is a level of marketing that you do with your church. You want your church to be known where when people think about, should I go to church on Easter? It's like, well, let's try that one. Of course, the best marketing, and again, I hate that word really when you relate to church. I often hate business words related to church, but sometimes that's the best way to relate it. But when you think about marketing, the very best marketing you've got is your own people. Go out there and tell your friends and be inviters. That's why we encourage that more than anything. But with a mailer like this, they do always produce fruit for us.
Oh, for sure.
And I can think of a handful. There's a family in our church that a couple years ago, I won't say who they are, but I met them their very first week here. The church was quite a bit smaller back then. And I just said, well, what brings you our way? And they held up the mailer.
Oh, and they brought it with them?
Yeah. And they said, this is the very first time we've ever been invited to church.
Wow.
No one's ever invited us to church before, and we got this invitation in the mail. So we thought we'd come. And isn't it funny how sometimes that surprises us? Like, oh, really? And, you know, but we're so familiar. Yeah. And that family went on to get baptized mm-hmm. and got involved in the church. And this has been a number of years ago now. They're still, I mean, I just saw them the other day, and it's very active, involved in the church and serving. I always think of them when I think about these mailers going, of course they work, you know, because the Holy Spirit's involved.
Yeah.
And, you know, our job is to do the work of the inviting, and the Holy Spirit does his job of mm-hmm. working on people's hearts. And those stories have been repeated many times over, yeah. You know.
I'm one of them.
Oh, did you get
it? That's how I got here, was an Easter mailer.
Did you really?
Yeah, we just moved to Bella Vista, and I was ready to start the hunt. I was planning to visit several, but I was like, well, that was the first piece of mail I got.
Wow.
In my mailbox.
And look at you now.
And I'm
producing a podcast for the pastor and his wife.
That's awesome.
Yep. Well, how did I miss that? Cool. Did I know that or did I forget?
It was a mailer. I didn't know where to start looking, and that was the first piece of mail I got. So I was like, well, I'll start at New Life Christian Church, whatever that is.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is
I love hearing that.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing.
So you are living proof right here.
That's right.
That mailers work. Plus the story Joe shared.
And so many people are moving to this area. I mean, you had just said it right there. I just moved here, mm-hmm. and I need to start looking. And sometimes I told the church this this weekend. I'll say it. I told them I'll keep saying this till it stops being true, that you never know what a simple invite, whether it be through a mailer or just telling your neighbor, you never know how an invite can change somebody's life.
Yeah.
You really don't. And so, but I'm thrilled that we're able to send those out. I'm looking forward to hearing more stories about the fruit from that mailer. But beyond that, I know our folks are going to get out and invite, and I know people come to church, you know, I'm excited about preaching the message. We are taking a break from Courageous, obviously. But I think we're going to see an Easter unlike we've ever seen here before. And there's so many unpredictable, I mean, and there are things we can't predict. Right. And at Christmas time, you know, we had a bunch of services, and it was amazing to watch how all of them just filled up equally.
Yes,
we never
evenly.
Had
that
we
was
never,
the most beautiful.
We
thing
never
of
had
us.
We never had that was the most it was almost miraculous.
Yeah,
they were like, how do you have 10 services over two campuses and every service was almost the same size? And we are expecting more. That was over 2,000 people at Christmas. We're expecting up near around 3,000 this Easter. So hopefully, and you know, I don't know how you guide or curtail this. These are some of the unknowns, but it would be nice if they evenly dispersed. But we're prepared if they don't, and we're going to be running shuttles at both campuses, and we'll have offsite parking. We'll do everything we can to accommodate everybody. Yeah. But I,
you know, we have a place on our website called Plan a Visit, and you know, occasionally we'll have people who will mark, hey, they'll fill that out. I'm planning to come visit. And so we've had several this week. And surprisingly, guess which service out of the five at each campus, guess which service has been the number one chosen service? What time slot do you think?
10 a.m. on Sunday.
If that's what I would think.
11:30.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Surprises me just because I grew up in the church and we always tried to go the earlier one so that we could come home and have lunch and stuff like that. But the people who are filling out the form wanting to come to the 11:30 one.
And that's not all that surprising to me, because right now at the Reardon campus, usually our largest service of the three on Sunday morning, because
two on Sunday morning.
No, I'm sorry.
Three of the weekend,
yeah. So at Reardon campus,
yeah,
we have five services between the two campuses, yeah, on a regular weekend. So we're doubling that for Easter. But the 11 a.m. service at Reardon campus is not uncommon for that to be the largest one of the weekend.
Yeah.
And then over at the Highlands campus,
the early one,
the 9 a.m. is the larger one. In fact, we're getting to the point where that is so full that we're going to start asking people if they would be willing to, at the Highlands,
yeah,
to move to the 11.
So if you go to the Highlands and you're listening,
it would not be a bad thing if you're a 9 a.m.er to switch over to the 11, because there is some more room. Now that service is filling up too, but there is more room. But
a few extra seats in the 11 a.m. service at Highlands, but 9 a.m. is packed,
yep,
including New Life Kids. And they're looking to have a few people who will move over from the 9 a.m. service to the 11 a.m. service to just make room for a few people. But this weekend, it's not 9 and 11. It's Saturday, 4 and 5:30, and Sunday, 8:30, 10 and 11:30.
That's right.
And so five services at each campus hopefully will accommodate.
Hopefully that's enough.
3,000 plus people we're expecting.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Like I said, we're not aiming for a number, but we're trying to be prepared if. And we'll see what happens.
Well, on an average weekend, we run around 1,500 to 1,700, and we know that's not everyone, because if everyone came at one time, mm-hmm, we would be definitely over 2,000, but we'd love to see everyone come every weekend. But we know, you know, people travel and have things going on. So we also have online service, and our online services are going to be a little different this weekend as well. So online's at 5:30 on Saturday and 10 on Sunday.
Okay.
So people can jump in and worship online for Easter.
No matter where they are.
But typically we're online at 5 and 10. So 5:30 Saturday will be online. So, yeah.
Well, it's going to be great no matter what. And we're going to see what God's going to do with it. But like we were saying, obviously that sermon, that morning, it's all going to be around the resurrection of Jesus. Now, last weekend, we were still in our Courageous series. We were in Judges chapter 8. And you know, probably the one question I got more than anything else, we've been talking about Gideon these last couple of weeks, and probably the question I got more, well, I don't know if it's more than any others, because I'll be honest with you, I've been really enjoying the dialogue I've been having with a lot of people over this whole book of Judges. And I'm finding that the book of Judges is not one of the more well-read books of the Bible here mm-hmm. in our church. So a lot of people are coming at this going, well, I've heard some of the stories, but to really read it chapter by chapter and dig and into it with their life groups, yeah. It's really been inspiring for a lot of people. And there's been, I think the Lord's really using it to teach people. But one of the questions that I have gotten for the last couple of weeks is Gideon from the book of Judges, is that where the Gideon's ministry comes from?
Now, so what's the Gideon's ministry?
So the Gideon's is, if you've ever been in a hotel and you see the Bible that's in the drawer and it says placed there by the Gideon's, mm-hmm. You know, they try to get Bibles in schools. They do a lot of good work. It started, I think, in the late 1800s and early 1900s where the whole goal was a group of guys going out and distributing Bibles. I mean, it's really good. I've been familiar with the Gideon's, but they asked me over the last couple of weeks, like, is this where the Gideon's get their name? And I honestly had to take a step back and go, I don't know. I mean, it makes sense. So we've done some extensive research here on the Under the Hood podcast.
I'm sure.
And by extensive, we did about a 5-minute Google search before we hit record on our podcast. But no, but I've had some folks email me. I got another email today from a family I was talking to, and they went and looked. And kind of what I told them, I said, if the Gideons get their name from Gideon, from the book of Judges, it has to be chapter 6, chapter 7 Gideon, and not chapter 8 Gideon. and I think that's pretty much what all the research, people have emailed me and they've kind of, the last couple of days, given me their answers. Abby, what did you find? And this is the result of minutes and minutes of research.
Yes, very extensive. A couple of guys decided to get together and have a meeting, and only one person showed up. And that man was William Knights. And it says that what he lacked in numbers, he made up for in ideas. He suggested the group call themselves the Gideons based on a story in the Old Testament of a man, Gideon, leading a band of untrained men to battlefield victory.
When he suggested this, who did he suggest it to? Well, if he was the only person at
there were two guys decided to hold this meeting, and the only person that showed up was this William Knight.
Well, in my minutes of research while you were reading, I got on their Gideon webpage, and it said only three men were present at the meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when it came time to decide, the men held a prayer time, and after that, Mr. Knight, he said, we'll be called the Gideons, but it doesn't give any history. So you got more history. So basically what we're learning.
So Abby has better research skills than you.
No, basically the name for the Gideons ministry, which has been around for a long time, and you have crossed paths with the Gideons, whether you realize it or not.
So you've stayed in a hotel and you've seen a Bible, and are they imprinted?
Well, they say, yeah, usually. And a lot of the little pocket New Testament, the Gideons have a very familiar.
Oh, yeah, I got that when I was little.
Like a bright green or white, you know,
the Gideon Bible. Okay.
Yeah. So they're all over the place. But so basically what we've established between what people in the church have emailed me and what is that it was based off Gideon, which I think that's obvious, but not chapter 8 Gideon, chapter 7. And the premise is, just like you read, Abby, is that a man took a group of ordinary men and they did great things because it was God that did it. And that's kind of the premise of their ministry. And I think that's great. I think that's awesome. And that makes sense. But as I was talking to different people, I said, you know, when I was a kid in Sunday school, I do remember learning about Gideon. And I remember, like, when I was a kid, we had these illustrated Bible stories that my dad used to read to me as a little boy. And I do remember there was one about Gideon, and I remember the story really well and the illustrations in it about how he started with a large army and God said, it's too much. And he said, tell anybody that's afraid to go home. And I remember all these people left. I remember the pictures in the book, little thin little paperback books, picture books. And then there was this picture of guys that got down and they drank out of the water like dogs, like stuck their face down the water. Yeah. But 300 of them pulled it up.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't do that. And those were the 300. And mm-hmm. So as a child, I've known the story of Gideon, and God went on with 300 to cause confusion of the Midianites, and mm-hmm. and they won. But I think that's where the story ended, because I don't remember in Sunday school, and
they
don't
usually teach us this part.
And I don't remember the parts of Gideon taking out revenge on his own fellow Israelites for not providing them bread. I don't remember him taking the two kings back home and murdering them in front of the whole, or taking out revenge in front of the whole
Sunday
people.
Sunday school would have been so much better.
Oh my goodness!
They would have included everything they should have.
Like in Sunday school, like when David and Goliath, the story ends with David hitting him with a rock. They don't tell me the part where he took his sword and cut his head off and mailed it home. You know, not really mailed it home, but you know, it's like, but you know, there's parts of it that obviously we leave out some details for little ones.
I don't know why.
But then Gideon,
I'm serious.
You know, he takes out his revenge on these two kings. And then they're like, Gideon, we want you to be king. And Gideon's like, no, I'm not going to be your king, but I want you to pay me like one, and I want to live like one. And so he has all this treasure. I never read about how Gideon made an idol and either was trying to make him the spiritual leader or whatever. He turned all Israel to idol worship, whether it was intention or not. And he was the wealthiest dude. He created a harem, had a bunch of wives and concubines, had 70 kids and biological children, and named his illegitimate son Abimelech, which means my father, the king. That's chapter 8. And I don't remember that in Sunday school. And I don't think chapter 8 is what the Gideons got their names from. But chapter 7, yes. Chapter 8, no.
Interesting.
But you know what? It's scripture. I told the Saturday night service, and I think this is the service that's online right now. I changed a little bit for the rest of the services, for the sake of time. I had to edit just a little bit because, yes, I guess Saturday night went a little long.
It was, I would say that is an understatement of all understatements.
Do I have the record again?
54
minutes and like 44 seconds.
It's down to the seconds.
Oh, heavens. Listen here, buddy. I had to extend.
I'm listening to the people. They said they wanted longer sermons.
We also have parking issues and turning over the parking lot. And our poor, again, I'm going to go back to Abby. Our poor kids ministry volunteers. You got to warn them at least.
Well,
usually I would say that we aim for a 60 to 70 minute service. And when the sermon alone is 54 minutes, somebody got obnoxious.
Now listen, I will freely admit Saturday night was long. That's why I had to edit. That's why I changed it a little bit for
and
Sunday morning.
He was
morning.
So proud. He came out of his office Sunday morning when I ran into him in the hallway. He goes, I cut some out. I'm like, I hope it was more than some.
So
he then thinks I'm negative.
So I changed the beginning of the sermon between Saturday night and Sunday to shorten it. But Saturday night, I talked for a little bit about how, you know, I just wish chapter 8 ended differently. I wish that it went right from the end of chapter 7 straight through the end of chapter 8. Now, I said that on Sunday morning, but I talked more about that on Saturday night.
You're more concise.
And just like, yeah, I'm not saying that I'm not saying I want it to be changed or anything like that, or that I disagree, because that's certainly not the case.
But there was a lot of, like, I don't know, dirtiness or ugliness or bad stuff in that chapter.
I like to think of Gideon.
Skip to the end.
I like to think of Gideon as the hero, the guy that God used through his weaknesses to do a great thing for Israel. I don't like to think about the Gideon who became a prideful, womanizing playboy, who was so. I think he just. I personally think that he was trying to, in some ways, whether he acknowledged or not, kind of trade places with God. Mm-hmm. Let you come to me with all the answers. I'm going to, you know, we're going to make spirituality, my hometown, the center of it. He makes this ephod and a lot of things went haywire. That's why I was just trying to, like Saturday night, I was kind of talking about, I mean, I wish this just ended different. I wish it was a different, but it's not. It's in the Bible and it is what it is. And
it's there for a reason.
And I like what James Smith in his commentary, you know, when he just said, he kind of summed up Gideon's life. This, he said, you know, Gideon's life reminds us that even the greatest champions of faith can be brought low by greed, lust, and pride. And I thought, that's Gideon. Mm-hmm. That's Gideon. Even the greatest, because 6 and 7, Gideon, great champion of faith, mm-hmm. tears down his dad's idol to Baal, following the Lord, trusting him. God had to give him some signs. But chapter 8 is a guy that went from that, who brought down low by greed, lust, and pride. And it's not really a happy ending. Now, Gideon's still listed as one of the great men of faith in the Bible, you know, and God sorts out those details, okay? Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think it was a great chapter for our church to know that, hey, listen, like what Paul said when he said in the New Testament, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Paul was like saying, listen, I got a lot of things I'm not proud of, but I know I'm forgiven and saved by the blood mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Here I am at the end of my life, and I can look back and say, you know what? I have fought this good fight my whole life. Since I became a Christian I fought this good fight. I'm going to finish this race. I'm not going to come up short at the end, and I've kept the faith. And to me, that's the encouragement mm-hmm. from Gideon, mm-hmm. from his life in chapter 8, at least, mm-hmm. is that we have an example of a guy that came up short at the end when it really mattered. And then you contrast that with the Apostle Paul, who looks back on his life and he says, I did it. I made it. I didn't trip 1 foot in front of the finish line. I made it. And that's the challenge. I think that's the encouragement I take. That's why I wanted to encourage the church with that. And so how do you get there? How do you get across that finish line without being tripped up by greed, lust, and pride? How do you get across that finish line strong? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the goal of every Christian, right? So anyway, it was a great chapter. So yeah, it went 54 minutes. Sometimes it happens. But I will say this, for Easter, there will be no 54-minute sermon. And you mark it right here on the Under the Hood podcast. It will not go that long.
How long will it be?
It will be 25 minutes.
Can we
time it?
Hold you to that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. All right, Abby.
25 minutes.
Next week, we will need to revisit this conversation to see.
Maybe 30.
No!
Not over 30. Not over 30.
You said 25.
And 25 to 30.
That. No, we're holding you to
not
25.
Not a second over 30.
No.
I was 25. Talking to one of the people who are scheduled to drive the shuttle this weekend.
And
they were nervous. They were like, you know, with the services this close together.
Yeah.
Seriously, we have, I mean, if you haven't been to New Life before and you just listen, we have a parking issue. And when we put our services with only 30 minutes in between, which is what's going to happen for Easter weekend, we have a parking issue when our service ends up being
well, it's like we used to before the long. Second campus, before the Highlands campus, we were like 8:30, 10, and 11:30.
Yep. We just knocked them out because it's hard to have a well-attended service after lunchtime. So we try and keep them in the morning. So this weekend, we're holding you to 25 minutes and we're going to alert all the volunteers that Joe has said 25 minutes. And I can promise you, I know of specific listeners who are listening to this right now before Easter weekend, who are going to say something to you and they're going to have a stopwatch and they're going to know exactly.
Well, more than ever, I'm going to be very conscientious of the fact that we do have 3 services back to back on Sundays. Boom, boom, boom. We do have,
and Saturday,
we do have parking issues at both campuses. Yep. Although at the Highlands campus, you know, they can kind of spill out into the dirt fields and they can spread out if they have to. We have none of that at the Reardon campus, but I do recognize we're running shuttles. We got parking issues. More than any of that, I'm acknowledging the fact that I'm expecting at least 1,000 people here who don't go to church regularly. Yeah. And quite honestly, they're not, that pump has not been primed for a 50-minute sermon. and I'll just be gracious they give us any other time. And
this is boring.
So I'm really going to try to pack in the goods in a very tight, contained
Your 54-minute sermon I listened to online because I was taking my mom to the airport. I was listening online, and it didn't feel like 54 minutes. It was good.
Oh, thanks.
But when it got to the end of the service and you were still talking, I was like, oh my goodness, what is going on? He's still going.
So for those of you that obviously don't go home with me every day after every service, typically the first words out of Kirsten's mouth is a comment about the length of my sermon. And more times than not, it's something like, you did it again.
Yeah.
You know what hardships you're causing?
I can't believe
you preached that long.
I will say this, and my heart isn't for necessarily the length of the sermon or that it should be longer or shorter because of attention span, which we've talked about in the past. But it really is about volunteers who have made a commitment and parking and all those other logistics that somehow the preacher usually forgets about when they get up on stage and start talking and they're like pumped up and they're ready to go and they're fired up and they're preaching God's word. And then I'm like, oh, don't forget the kids. Oh, don't forget the parking lot. What about over here? Yeah, now, that's
and
me.
We, and we ha- and we, yes. And we have talked this at length on this podcast, but I know that this weekend with Easter is the perfect storm for all of these issues to hit all the same day. And I know the cure for most of them, if not all of them, is a service that gets out on time. So
it is a precise, concise, beautifully well-written sermon.
But after this weekend, we will be back to our regularly scheduled programming. But I will say this, and again, we joke about this. This is a very serious conversation, really, at the end of the day. And I'm not just caution to the wind on this stuff. But I will be honest, in my heart of hearts, we went to two services on Sunday morning, and it spread the attendance times.
Typically, we have about 30 or 45 minutes.
It has done wonders for our parking problems. Mm-hmm. It has helped our mornings immensely that we're not trying to rush anymore. It's been wonderful.
And we're doing everything we can to.
But with that, But with that, I was going to say,
move the service times.
Like we've talked about before, it has relaxed the morning a little bit. And I don't quite feel the pressure like I used to get done at a certain time. I am conscientious of it. And I'll admit, 54, a little long. But you know what? I'll be honest with you.
I think all the nursery workers should start bringing all the crying babies up into the service when you've gone past your 25, 30-minute mark.
Maybe when I stand before the Lord one day. I'd rather be accused of preaching too long than too short.
Yes.
I'd rather be accused of being too scripture heavy than too scripture light.
Yeah.
One of my biggest criticisms of preachers today is that they don't have enough scripture. Mm-hmm. They're not unpacking the text fully. Mm-hmm. And sometimes to just exegete a text, it just takes longer. So anyway, welcome to expository preaching. We're here to expose the text verse by verse, or really, I don't really go verse by verse, but I'm pretty much kind of, you know, section by section.
A verse by verse preacher,
but
I understand what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
And I do want you to err on that, but I also want us to be conscientious and considerate.
Be in balance.
Of our our amazing New Life Kids volunteers.
That's true.
And our amazing volunteers who run shuttle and are stressing over parking spots, because there are weekends that we're down to counting how many spots we have open.
Oh, yeah.
Parking spots. And so they're like, I hope that preacher wraps it up because we don't got any parking spots for the people coming in.
Saturday nights, for sure, we've started shuttling. Yeah. We brought the shuttle back on Saturday nights about a month ago.
Yeah.
And we've asked all the staff and volunteers to park down there. And if we hadn't been doing that, we would not be able to park everybody.
Listen, this is my bottom line. Keep doing what you're doing, but do it shorter.
Okay. I'll do my best. No promises, but next weekend you got the Joe Williams guarantee. No, 25. No more than 30.
No, you cannot change it. Luckily, we have you marked down in the notebook. 25 minutes. Take it back.
All right. We'll talk to you next week, everybody. I had a nice surprise when I got back from our cruise.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
I came into my office on Saturday night. There's a little gift bag there. And it was from some of our faithful listeners. And it had two mugs inside that they had made
beautiful
for us.
Mugs.
And it says, the mugs, we'll post a picture of it on the show notes. But the mugs say, just call me Phil. And if you listen to our podcast.
His and hers.
And one of them is for a left-handed person. And because we made a big deal about your left-handedness. Exactly. Especially when we were talking about Ehud. And so we love them. And I got a great laugh. And I saw the family that gave it to us on Sunday and just meant a lot to me personally. And
that's awesome.
Just call me Phil. And
if
I still.
If you're not familiar with that story, you need to go back about.
It's a story.
Four episodes.
It's a story about how Kirsten ruined my punchline. That's what it's
not,
a story.
I didn't even know that was the punchline.
I'm telling this story.
It's just a story.
And she jumps in and says, just call me Phil. And I'm like, oh, you killed the joke, Kirsten.
I still don't believe I did. But now I need, what I need to do, because that's, you know, that story is from my sister's classroom. Now I need to make sure she sees a picture that I have a mug in my kitchen. With just call me Phil. And she'll be like, why do you have that? Well, there's a story.
Your story has now become our story. I believe it's episode 50, timing.
Episode 50.
Timing.
And the episode's called timing.
Because Joe says to you, you know what the most important thing in joke telling is?
That's
well,
right, timing.
Thank you for the mugs. That
yes, and,
so
and it
sweet.
Means the world to us. And it just reminds us that, you know, sometimes we wonder, does anybody listen to us ramble on about life, ministry, and family, and the church? And hearing from you all, the emails we get, the little gifts like this, it just reminds us that you do listen, and just little words of encouragement that many of you have shared with us over the last year or so we've been doing this. You know, we do this podcast because it's another avenue to talk about the church and about what the Lord is doing in sermons and reaches more people but really this kind of stuff just reminds us that it's worth it.
We'll have to post a picture on our Instagram of us with our mugs.
Thank you guys for being listeners and the encouraging words and giving us another avenue to talk about the Lord and our church and our family.
And happy Easter.
And we hope you are entertained by this. A lot of times people catch me on Sundays like, we love that story about such a, or we love listening to that stuff. And
usually I just say, we're a hot mess because that's all we are.
We just try to be real. This is who we really are. But God is good. And I'm grateful that we have this opportunity. And I guess we'll just ride this train until God says it's time to get off that train, whenever that is. But thanks for the mugs. Just call me Phil. We love it. It means a lot to us. And for those that know, you just know.
That's all for today's show. We want to thank our amazing producer, Abby O'Brien. Be sure to check out our show notes and the links for things that we talked about today. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for joining us on
Under the Hood, not a car show.